brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We first interviewed him almost 3 years ago, and he's been on the case for a lot longer than that. Yesterday, at the end of the broadcast, my radio producer walked in with the Salt Lake City Tribune headline, Nichols, McVeigh had high-level FBI help. Here is the Desert News headline, Nichols says bomb was FBI op. We've known this from a massive mountain of confirmed evidence since just months after the horrible attack that killed 163 people back in 1995. But now, Jesse Trinidou, on the trail of who murdered his brother in federal prison, Kenneth Trinidou, and we have the horrible autopsy photos up on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, has literally been spending much of his life on this case, a successful attorney and lawyer counselor in his own right. And I just got in touch with him this morning after I learned of this last night. I went on Coast to Coast AM and covered it. And he joins us now for the next 30 minutes, and I hopefully will be able to line him up for an hour early next week so we can get into more detail. He's given us some of the documents, the case. Those are going up on InfoWars.com right now. This is bombshell material. Literally, maybe once a year will my heart start beating faster with the story. That's happening right now. So joining us is Jesse Trinidou. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you for having me. You, if I'm not mistaken, were the first one to broadcast this story back in 2004.
Well, now it's really broken wide open thanks to your work. We've got 3 minutes before break and we'll come back in detail at all. But just out of the gate, tell us in a nutshell about yourself, about your brother, how you got involved in this case, and now the prison interview you did with Larry Nichols. It's unbelievable.
Well, basically, my brother was killed a few months after the bombing. He had been convicted of a federal crime back in the late 70s, had done his time. He was paroled in 1988. He had a dispute with his probation officer about drinking beer. We challenged that and lost. A couple months after the bombing, my brother is driving across the border. He lived in San Diego. He'd been over visiting friends in Mexico. He's arrested supposedly for a parole violation. At the time, we didn't understand that it didn't make sense. We assumed that was what it was for. In hindsight, now it's clear that wasn't the case because the judge who sentenced him was in San Diego. The crime was committed in San Diego. His probation officer was in San Diego. Any parole hearing would have to be in San Diego. So he was sent to Oklahoma City for some reason and was dead 2 days later. And we never had a reason for it.
Now, they claimed it was suicide, but he, again, had electrical burn marks, cuts, and bruises over his entire body. It is truly grisly. He was clearly tortured to death.
His throat was slashed. All while in federal custody. And the government said they tried to have his body cremated before we saw him, and then finally we get him home. But we never had a motive, and that was difficult to say to people why the FBI especially would have killed him and tortured him.
Now, we're going to get to that later, but in the process of your investigation, you've now got the documents. The affidavit has been sealed, so you can't talk about certain names. But before it got sealed by the feds in a desperate attempt to block this evidence from coming out, we do have the names. We do have the information because you were able to tell different news reporters about this, in particular the Desert News, Deseret News, before that happened. So we're going to go over this after the break, but I want to get into how you got in contact with Larry Nichols, why he's now gone public, and by the way, his story fits exactly with what the FBI, police, investigators, and many others have brought forward in the, 11-plus years since the OKC bombing in 1995. Our guest is Jesse Trinidou. We'll be back after this quick break to detail this. This story is ultra-massive and incredibly important.
It's
year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands. My new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22 ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is the 22nd day of February, Thursday, 2007. One of the most important broadcasts I've ever done. It was almost 3 years ago that I interviewed Jesse Trinidu, whose brother, Kenneth Trinidu, was murdered. That's how this lawyer got on the case. And my God, does it fit in with all the other evidence we have? Unfortunately, it shows that the Oklahoma City bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Building was an inside job. Here's the headline out of the Desert News. And before the filing was sealed, the reporters were able to see it. Now our guest is unable to specifically talk about the filing. And the most shocking allegation, the 19-page signed declaration by Nichols' assertion that the whole bombing plot was an FBI operation that McVeigh let slip during a bout of anger, that he was taking instructions from former FBI official Larry Potts, who helped run the Ruby Ridge debacle, very senior, personal friends, very high level with the then FBI director. McVeigh also said he was part of a secret military assassins team who've been recruited out of the military. That's exactly the MO we have from state police, local police, detectives, and FBI. This is absolutely off the charts, incredible. And guess who got in and got this affidavit? It is the man we're speaking to right now. Jesse Trinidu got in to see Larry Nichols, and that is a saga in and of itself. Let's walk through it, please, sir.
Well, basically, I didn't start out to solve the Oklahoma City bombing. I started out to find out who killed my brother and why. It all started in the probably December of 95 or January of 96, and I got an anonymous call a caller said that my brother had been killed by the FBI, that it was a case of mistaken identity, that it was an interrogation that got out of hand, that my brother fit the profile, the caller said, of a group who were robbing banks and to fund the tax, get the money to fund the tax on the federal government.
So somebody had a conscience and called you?
Called me. And, of course, I dismissed it. I thought it was far-fetched, unbelievable. And then about 6 months later, I read a story in the Los Angeles Times about a man named Richard Lee Guthrie, who was found hanging in his cell while in federal custody. He was supposed to give a tell-all interview the next day before he died about the Oklahoma City bombing. He was a member of a group called the Midwest Bank Robbery Gang, and the story said had robbed banks to attack the federal, get money to attack the federal government. And they didn't have a photograph of Guthrie, though, just the story. And then shortly before he was executed, I received a message from Timothy McVeigh, who told me that when he saw my brother's photograph and heard what happened to him, he knew that the FBI had killed my brother because they mistook him for Richard Lee Guthrie. And Guthrie, I believe, was John Doe 2. And the description for John Doe 2 when my brother was picked up was white male, 5'9", powerful upper body build, dark complected, believed to be in Canada or Mexico, driving mid-1980s Chevrolet pickup, dragon tattoo left forearm. My brother comes across the border at San Diego in his friend's 1986 Chevrolet pickup, 5'9", powerful upper body build, dark complected, dragon tattoo left forearm. The only other person I know of with that description was Richard Lee Guthrie.
So they clearly killed your brother and Guthrie in prison with the same classic hanging.
Hanging.
Unbelievable. Please continue.
Well, and as I said, it was difficult to convince people my brother had been murdered because no one likes to think the government of the United States does those kind of things.
But we have the autopsy photos. Please describe those.
Well, his head was smashed to the skull in three places. His throat was slashed. His stun gun burns all over his body. Even the soles of his feet are bruised from being beaten. He's beaten head to toe, front to back, tortured extensively, and then he was, we now know, was strangled with a pair of plastic handcuffs after they'd beaten him to a pulp. And obviously he couldn't tell him anything because he didn't know anything. But that started me on the quest I didn't start out to solve the bombing. I started off to find the men who killed my brother, but every trail has taken me back to the bombing. And that's when I filed that lawsuit here in federal court in Utah, asking the judge to order the FBI to produce all documents related to a failed sting operation they were running in a white supremacist paramilitary training camp in eastern Oklahoma called Elohim City, and that led to the bombing. It got out of hand.
Let's walk through how you were able to get in touch with Nichols, how he tried to contact John Ashcroft, how the media was then blocked from ever being able to reach him, how you were able to get in, and what Larry Nichols told you.
Well, Terry Nichols reached out to me. Apparently, before he contacted me several years ago, he had written to Attorney General Ashcroft, volunteering to tell everything he knew about the bombing and the others involved. Not only did no one from Attorney General Ashcroft's office follow up with Nichols, they actually issued apparently an order barring him from all contact with the media. It was thereafter that he reached out to me, and I was able to get into the scene and spend a day and a half with him.
Describe how he reached out, what you had to go through to be able to meet with him, and what happened in an hour and a half meeting.
It was a day and a half.
Day and a half, excuse me.
Basically, I was able to come in under the radar. I'm sure that if they'd known why I was there, I would never have gotten in.
But you're a lawyer, you're a counselor, that probably helped you.
I'm sure it sure did, but the real story is that this man apparently wants to tell his story. Now, I can't assure your audiences that what he says is true. You, sir, have more knowledge about you're relating things about the history of the bombing case that I wasn't aware of, so you apparently have studied this a long time and know a lot about it, a lot more than I do.
Well, I made my first film about it in 1997, but I've just interviewed literally hundreds of experts on the subject. I know they've sealed this, but we can talk about what the press has reported and any other facets you feel comfortable in getting into. What did Larry Nichols tell you? What's in the affidavit?
I don't feel comfortable talking about, but this I can tell you what is already out there in the public record as a result of this lawsuit that led me to go see Mr. Nichols.
Sure.
when you sue under the Freedom of Information Act, there are, for documents, government documents, there are two exemptions that are bulletproof that you cannot get around, that you will not get the documents.
National security and...
Well, that's actually three. The other two are if there's an ongoing criminal investigation or if the government has promised anonymity or confidentiality to informants. I was fearful that the government would come back, the FBI would come back and say they had reopened the investigation, in which case I would have gotten nothing. Instead, they came back and told the federal judge that they had promised confidentiality to four informants and please not to turn over any documents. Well, the judge said he would allow them to black the names out, but to turn the documents over. And the documents show that the FBI's informants were robbing banks and armored cars with Tim McVeigh to get the money to construct the bomb, and that one of the four informants was actually the explosives instructor who taught him how to make the bomb.
Now, to be specific here, this is could be creating the history, the ledger, and this is what McVeigh said. They were staging fake robberies to create the illusion that it was an organic domestic group that was going to carry out the attacks. Classic black ops, where they go out and engage in criminal activities as a smokescreen.
That's basically what some of the things that Nichols said.
Sure. Classic black op, Gladio type op. But please continue.
As I said, the documents are, it's not me making this up. The documents show that at least as recently as 2 days before the bombing, McVeigh actually called Elohim City asking for help, and this was reported by one of the informants. That 4 months before the bombing, another informant had not only reported the plan, but had said that they had actually scouted the target.
Now, Howell was one of the informants earlier, and she tried to warn them, and then they tried to arrest her and charge her, telling her to shut up.
They did prosecute her, but she wasn't convicted.
Yes.
My understanding.
Please continue.
And so many of these things had... I would not have gotten where I am today on this, but for people have... And I don't know who has done it, had leaked me copies of records.
Now, there's a lot of feds that don't like killing kids in a daycare. They're not going to put up with it.
And that made my case in front of the federal judge. As I had, unknown to the FBI, I had two copies, two documents already about this operation. And so when I asked for the records, they came back, the FBI did, and reported to the judge that there were no such documents. And then I filed those two copies, and then the FBI came back and said that they were fake, and I had an affidavit from an FBI agent who said they were real. And with that, the judge lost all patience with the FBI. They had no credibility with him.
And then later, didn't it turn out that similar documents and some of the same documents had been released before, but without some of the names blacked out, and then that proved they were real?
Yes. Yes, they did. They found their way out through another source, apparently, which confirmed. They've never denied the documents are. They now concede their, and when they were ordered to produce them, to do a manual search, they came back and produced about 100 pages of them.
Where does it go from here? I mean, where does your suit go? How much danger is Nichols in?
Quite honestly, I'm afraid, I'm surprised he's still alive. Not only is my brother dead, Guthrie dead, I had an eyewitness to my brother's murder, and he was found hanging in his cell, too. People have a habit of dying off in this case.
But I guess you've got a serious beef, so you're way past Karen. They murdered your brother.
That, and I was smart enough to not keep anything a secret, that as soon as I'm thankful to your show and others like you, sir, that the story get out there, because to me that was my best insurance policy.
Oh, my heart was beating this morning just to get you on for my safety. I mean, I know you cannot keep this type of stuff secret. You got to get it out immediately. That's your insurance policy.
And I was surprised how quickly they were able to get everything sealed.
Final segment with you, sir, after this quick break. Other key facets we'll walk through and delineate here with our guest, attorney at law, Jesse Trinidu, whose brother was brutally tortured to death, Kenneth Trinidu. Oh. The bottom line is, no man in the wrong can stand up against a fellow that's in the right and keeps on a-coming. Texas Ranger Captain Bill McDonald will be right back.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Ted Anderson from Midas. February 12, 2007, gold $657.90. Ounce gold coins are at $679.18, $342.15 for half, $171.08 for quarter ounce. That's $679.18, $342.15, and $171.08. On June 4, 1963, an unknown presidential decree, Executive Order 11110, was signed with the authority to strip the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to lend money to the United States government and interest. With the stroke of a pen, Kennedy would have put the Fed out of business. The November assassination quieted the production of the new currency. However, the executive order still stands unrepealed. Midas has the Kennedy versus Fed document. Call 800-686-2237. Unlike your liberty, the paper is free. Call 800-686-2237. If you're interested in breaking the bondage of taxation and debt, call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that Russia sponsored a terrorist training camp in Havana, Cuba in 1966? In this camp, they planned terrorist activity on every continent, including the United States. Have we seen terrorist activities on every continent just as they plan? We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening and more about Bible prophecy by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 for a one-year free subscription to Newswatch Magazine. It's free. Call now while operators are standing by to take your call.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
I called our guest at about 8 a.m. this morning, my time, and he was already at the office. He's been there since 5 a.m. Mountain. He's very exhausted, a lot of filings. He's got his own practice, of course. We really appreciate him spending time with us to come on today, and we're trying to get him on for longer next week. In the 5 minutes we've got left, Jesse Trinidou, where is your case going now? What's going to happen with this 19-page affidavit that has been filed, and what are some of the materials you sent us today that we posted on Infowars.com?
Well, first of all, again, Mr. Jones, I want to thank you for may have been the first. I think you were the first person to report this story back in 2004 and didn't say it was crazy. What I filed that affidavit for was to get an order from the judge to allow me to take the deposition of Terry Nichols and to videotape that deposition. It's the only way his story will ever get out there.
Good Lord, you have a video?
No, I said it's to get an order to allow that to happen.
Oh, yeah, okay.
To order the government to produce them and let me take that deposition and videotape that deposition. You cannot tell that whole story in a declaration. He's made that very clear to me.
I know you'd like to be able to tell us what you learned in a day and a half of interview with him.
The more important things are the documents that were attached to that affidavit that were sealed too. Most of them were from the FBI, and some were from Tim McVeigh's defense team outlining exactly what happened.
So the defense team knew?
Yes.
But Stephen Jones didn't bring that out?
I don't think they were allowed to bring it out. If I recall correctly, and I wasn't paying attention to the trial, that the judges would not allow in evidence of other people being involved.
Well, bottom line, Nichols and yourself are in grave danger while this is sealed, and I know you can't violate this federal proceeding in a seal order, but, I mean, these documents, you just said it, the defense detailing inside job, did the federal documents detail that?
I mean, I read them that way.
Good.
I read them as others involved.
Bottom line, your educated inside view of this, off the cuff, why do you think the government was involved orchestrating this?
Well, I don't know if they intended it. I think my feeling is that the FBI had fumbled the ball so badly at Waco and Ruby Ridge that I do remember this, that they were under constant pressure and criticism from Congress and from the media and from the public.
The ATF was close to being disbanded.
I think they put together this harebrained idea at Elohim City to lure in all these militia groups under the pretense of teaching them how to rob banks and armored cars and attack the federal government. And I think they planned to catch them in the act. I don't for a moment think they intended the bombing to take place.
Well, that's what the BATF tried to leak and claim. The same thing every time they got caught in England with British intel carrying out attacks. They always claimed they just missed it. And let me tell you, sir, I've studied this. They may tell some of their BATF that showed up in bomb gear a minute after the bomb went off, but for the insiders, they meant to bomb it the whole time. You know, that building was blown from the inside out.
I'm not an explosives instructor, but my personal view is it got away from them.
Well, either way, they're culpable.
Oh, yes. I mean, you can't. To me, I think you stepped way over the line when your informants are robbing banks and armored cars.
Well, did you see the report out of the Orlando Sentinel where the Nazi rally was led and organized by an FBI informant?
I read that report.
I mean, I've seen this 100 times. In fact, I've never really seen a big case where it isn't the feds running it.
Well, my experience, at least in this case, has been whenever you have three people who get together to criticize the federal government, two of them will be informants.
Absolutely. We've got about a minute and a half left. Any other key points you'd like to add, sir?
Other than that they've not denied it. I mean, the accusations I made against the FBI are that they set up this operation, that they had informants who robbed banks with McVeigh to fund the attack, that they had an informant who was the explosive instructor and taught them how to make the bomb, and that got away from them. They've not once denied those accusations. They have just begged this federal judge not to order the release of the documents. Now, clearly, if I made those accusations against you, wouldn't you have denied them?
Absolutely. Then we have Danny Colson, who claimed he got up there in just an hour or so from Dallas by car with the hotel receipt that he was there the night before.
Well, so one other thing I might add is it's my understanding that the BBC is going to run an hour special on the bombing and perhaps the government's involvement.
It's going to be a total whitewash. I was in the 9/11 piece last week.
Oh, so I didn't see it. I don't know.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's supposed to be the 4th of March.
Okay, we got 20 seconds left. Any other points, sir?
Other than I expect a hell of a fight from the Department of Justice over that deposition.
Trying to keep it sealed indefinitely?
Or not let it happen. Not let me be able to take Nichols' complete statement.
What's the time frame on getting that statement?
Whenever the judge hears the case and orders, and rules on the motion.
Thank you so much for your courage, Jesse Trinidad. Let me talk to you for 1 minute off air. Thank you for joining us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
The disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 24, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, disease, and earthquakes in many places." We are living in this time of Earth's history. Many people are trying to understand the climactic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. 2 Peter says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, and you do well if you take heed. But first know this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." The Bible says, "We'd like you to receive this new offer, Packet B, The Unholy Alliance." These materials document the global leaders, political and religious, behind the scenes. You will receive information regarding America and prophecy, tyrants and wars, the New World Order, and much more. As always, these materials are shipped to you at no charge. Please call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715. And ask for Packet B.
Government is best, which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at LibertyStickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community. Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626 and express your freedom of speech today. Call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626.
Shelley, you look Oh, wait. Why did you turn that down?
I get so tired of that girl's squeaky voice. I'm sure the bed fan works, but that squeaky voice.
Well, what's the bed fan?
It's a fan that helps hot sleepers stay cool at night.
I could use something like that. This menopause thing is really getting to me at night, and you know how I am about doing that hormone therapy thing. Besides, you're a hot sleeper yourself. You're always throwing the covers off in the middle of the night.
I guess you're right. Why don't we try it? Just think how nice it'll be to sleep through the night.
Yeah, and just think how nice it'll be this summer and all the money we can save on air conditioning.
I know where we can get some more information.
Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? The bedfan is the answer. Visit us today at www.bedfan.com. That's www.bedfan.com.
That's bed, FAN.com.
To paraphrase that passage in the Bible, there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. You throw something into the deepest depths of the ocean, it will one day be tossed back onto the shore. Again, I just think about my job, what I do. This morning as I was scrambling, setting up this guest and reading news articles and going back and doing research, refreshing my memory, I just literally almost hit my knees and thank God that I'm in this position. I never thought that I would be a radio broadcaster internationally. I never thought I'd be a news hound. I never thought I'd be doing what those old gumshoes did long ago, what the straw hat reporters did. And here we are, 21st century, frontline muckrakers engaging the New World Order at point-blank range. It's scary, too, to do what we do, because we're going toe-to-toe with these guys. We're going against them 110% to bring them down. I would have been all over this story and been on the phone with Trinidu yesterday, and I would have had Trinidu on Coast to Coast AM with me last night. I didn't even think to call Coast to Coast AM to get on the show. I didn't think to even call Trinidu, even though he was in the article and I broke the story, as you heard him say, because I was too busy down in the law office filing lawsuits on someone, which makes me even madder at them for the lies they put out that I have to spend all this money to get my good name back. Excuse me. It just makes me angry because my time is so precious. I am so frustrated because there's so many things that I need to do. So many things we need to get done. All right. Don't want to explode here on air. There is so much happening, so much going on. We've got Kevin Barrett in studio, the Wisconsin professor who's been all over national, international television exposing 9/11. And then I don't even know now if I want to have that Cliff Kincaid neocon and conservative's clothing on in the third hour, but I've got him coming on just so you can hear the type of stuff these people put out. So that's coming up. And there is just so much going on. I don't even know what to say. Let me just read over these articles now to give you some more background on Oklahoma City, because this is a direct line into 9/11. Nichols McVeigh had high-level FBI help. Oklahoma City bombing conspirator Terry Nichols says a high-ranking FBI official apparently was directing Timothy McVeigh in the plot to blow up a government building and might have changed the original target of the attack, according to a new affidavit filed in U.S. District Court in Utah. The official and other conspirators are being protected by the federal government in a cover-up to escape its responsibility for the loss of life in Oklahoma, Nichols claims in the February 9th lawsuit. Affidavit for the lawsuit. And let me just add, I was talking to Jesse Trinity during that three-minute break, and he added some more points. He said that he was out of time, he had to go to court, but that he never has been called a kook, never been called a liar, never been demonized by the FBI. They're just desperately trying to ignore him. Well, the ignoring him is over. The ignoring him is over. The official and other conspirators are being protected by the federal government. Documents that supposedly help back up his allegations have been sealed to protect information in them, to protect the informants, such as Social Security numbers and dates of birth. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Utah had no comment on the allegations. The FBI and Justice Department in Washington, D.C. also declined comment. Nichols does not say what motive the government would have to be involved in the bombing. The affidavit was filed in a lawsuit brought by Salt Lake City Attorney Jesse Trinity, who believes his brother's death in a federal prison was linked to the Oklahoma City bombing. The lawsuit, which seeks documents from the FBI under the Federal Freedom of Information Act, alleges that authorities mistook Kenneth Trinity for a bombing conspiracy and that guards killed him in an interrogation that got out of hand. Yeah, no, that's not what he says. FBI went in and killed him and tortured him to death. Trinity's death a few months after the April 19th, 95 bombing was ruled a suicide. After several investigations, the government has adamantly denied any wrongdoing of the death. Why didn't they publish the photos? I know for a fact Trinity gave him the photos. They're up on Infowars.com. He's got the double-point shock wounds all over his body. Under his arms, of course we don't post these, but genitals, feet, huge, what look like electrical burns where the prods weren't working, so they just hooked something up to a wall outlet, slit his throat, beat his whole head in. Just, I mean, this guy's purple from end to end. In the affidavit, Nichols says he wants to bring closure to the survivors and families of the attack, the Alfred B. Murrah Building, which took 168 lives. He alleges that he wrote then-Attorney General John Ashcroft in 04, offering to help him identify all parties who played a role in the bombing, but never got a reply. Nichols, serving a life sentence at the U.S. Penitentiary Administrative Maximum Facility in Florence, Colorado. McVeigh, who carried out the bombing, was executed in 2001. McVeigh and Nichols were the only defendants indicted in the bombing. However, Nichols alleges others were involved. McVeigh told him he was recruited for undercover missions while serving in the military, according to Nichols. He says he learned sometime in 95 that there had been a change in the bomb target, and it was going to be Nebraska, Omaha, Dallas. They were looking at different places, that there had been a change in the bombing target, and that McVeigh was very upset by that. There, in what I believe was an actual slip of the tongue, McVeigh revealed the identity of a high-ranking FBI official who was apparently directing McVeigh in the bomb plot, Nichols says in the affidavit. So again, two newspapers have seen this. Now they sealed it. Too late, too late, too late, too late, too late. Nichols also says that McVeigh threatened him and his family to force him to rob Roger Moore, an Arkansas gun dealer, of weapons and explosives. He later learned that the robbery was staged so Moore, who was in on the phony heist, could deny any knowledge of the bombing plot if stolen items were traced back to him, Nichols claims. He adds that Moore allegedly told his attorney that he would not be prosecuted in connection with the bombing because he was a protected witness, and there's federal documents. Moore could not be reached for comment Tuesday. Again, they did the research Tuesday. This came out yesterday morning, Wednesday. It's now Thursday. In addition, Nichols says McVeigh must have had help building the bomb. The evidence that he and McVeigh built the day before the bombing did not resemble the one that ultimately was used, Nichols says, and despite a level of expertise and sophistication that neither man had. And there's a lot more than what this article put. You just heard the lawyer who's got the affidavit filed and did the day and a half of interviews with him. Now let's read the DesertNews.com story. All these are up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com with a whole bunch of pages of documents, federal documents, for the first time being posted at Infowars.com right now. In fact, I'm told they've been up for 30 minutes. Whew, man. Nichols says bombing was FBI op. Boy, that's an interesting headline out of a mainstream newspaper. Detailed confession filed in Salt Lake about Oklahoma City plot. The only surviving convicted criminal in the April 19, 95 bombing of the Alfred P. Murrow Federal Building in Oklahoma City is saying his co-conspirator, Timothy McVeigh, told him he was taking orders from a top FBI official and orchestrating the bombing. Let me say that again. Told him that he was taking orders from a top FBI official in orchestrating the bombing. A declaration from Terry Lynn Nichols filed in U.S. District Court in Salt Lake City has proven to be one of the most detailed confessions by Nichols to date about his involvement in the bombing as well as the involvement of others. The declaration was filed as part of a Salt Lake City attorney Jesse Trinidad's pending wrongful death suit against the government for the death of his brother in federal corrections facility in Oklahoma City. Trinidad claims his brother was killed during an interrogation by FBI agents when agents mistook his brother for a suspect in the Oklahoma City bombing investigation. The most shocking allegation in the 19-page signed declaration is Nichols' assertion that the whole bombing plot was an FBI operation and that McVeigh let slip during a bout of anger that he was taking instruction from former FBI official Larry Potts of Ruby Ridge fame. Potts was no stranger to anti-government confrontations, having been the lead FBI agent in Ruby Ridge in 92, which led to the shooting death of Vicki Weaver, the wife of separatist Randy Weaver. Potts also reportedly involved in the 51-day siege of the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas in 93, which resulted in the fire that killed 81 Branch Davidian followers. And he's now a former FBI agent, by the way. He was an FBI agent. Former retired. Potts retired from the FBI under intense pressure and criticism for the cover-up of an order to allow agents to shoot anyone seen leaving the Weaver cabin at Ruby Ridge. When contacted, the FBI's main office in D.C. said it would not provide immediate comment on Nichols' claims Tuesday. Nichols claims that in December 1992, McVeigh told him that while he was serving in the U.S. Army, he'd been recruited to carry out undercover missions for the secret assassination squad. What did I tell you, folks? Men formerly associated with special forces. In the next few years, I've had these guys following me, and they even threatened me. Hey, man, I'm an American defending the Republic. You do whatever you need to, criminals, and you'll see what they'll do to you later. In the next few years, the two men hatched a bombing plot in October 94. You think it's manly to kill people, don't you? Kill good people. You kill me, you got God to deal with, punks. In the next few years, the two men hatched a bombing plot. In October 94, McVeigh and I stole explosives from a quarry in Marion, Kansas, consisting of 8.5 cases of boxes containing 229 2.5-inch sticks of gel-type explosive known as Tuvex. Again, they told everybody it was fuel oil. Nichols wrote, adding that only a small amount was used in the actual bombing. It was while traveling the gun show circuit that Nichols claims the two obtained bomb-making knowledge and materials used in the bombing. And, of course, that was an FBI informant teaching them for the diversionary bomb. There were bombs inside. One example is that McVeigh allegedly attended a gun show in Knob Creek, Kentucky in 93. At this gun show, McVeigh had the opportunity to make contact with about 20 people who were bomb experts. McVeigh told me that he himself had no knowledge about how to construct a bomb, but that he always wanted to gain more knowledge about how to construct bombs, Nichols stated. Nichols says he knew McVeigh was building the bomb in November 94. He left for the Philippines to get away from the area to avoid being implicated. I did not want to be present when McVeigh did explode a bomb. Consequently, I left for the Philippines to be out of the country, he wrote. So this is basically the newspaper whitewash of all this, folks. Now, the statement contradicts findings by Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, who studied the bombing, has made public last year. It indicated Nichols had traveled to the Philippines to receive bomb training from a possible foreign terrorist. Yeah, that's the Republican fallback. They had Iraqi Republican Guard clearly involved. This is how black ops work, folks. You got white supremacists, you got militias, you got sheep-dipped Special Forces McVeigh, you've got bank robbers running around. But you got Arabs at the scene, and those videotapes have been sealed. But I've interviewed the police and others, and FBI's on record saying they saw the sealed surveillance tapes showing the Arabs. So then it gets so confusing. You're like, did the mob kill JFK? Did the military? Did the Cubans? No, they're all involved. That's how black ops work. You have different levels of deniability. Then you got bombs inside that Jane Graham, who was the head of HUD, was going through one of the maintenance sides to get up, you know, quicker. She was late to work, and she saw guys drilling the columns, planting large sticks of gray butter the day before. After hearing about the bombing of the federal building, which killed 168 adults and children, Nichols said he panicked when his name came up on the radio and he wanted to turn himself in, but not before hiding evidence, including explosives used in the bombing. The claims made and the declaration have added yet more twist to the mystery surrounding the bombing. Some familiar with the bombing's history, to Nichols' claims, seem to indicate the FBI put McVeigh up the plot as a draw for radicals, but that the situation got out of control and McVeigh became a runaway informant. That is not what happened. That's their fallback story. It always is. I mean, how many of those British bombings, oh, we didn't stop it in time. And then you turn out the guy cooking the bombs, British intel. The guy driving it's British intel. We've had those men on the show, by the way. After reviewing the declaration, Rohrabacher told the Desert Morning News that Nichols' claims should be investigated, but treated with extreme skepticism. I need to caution people to remember that Terry Nichols is a mass murderer. Of course, Rohrabacher, a month ago, was on CNN going, there's a conspiracy, a cover-up of Oklahoma. Clinton. Clearly Clinton was involved. But this goes deeper to the black op government. Ruby Ridge was planned under George Bush Sr. George Bush Sr. brought in the nearly 3,000 Iraqis. Clinton brought in almost 2,000 more. They were trained here by the CIA in the 80s, brought back in at the end of Desert Storm. Source, Washington Post, LA Times, Associated Press. Then there's stuff like this, WorldNet Daily. Was FBI early arrival in Oklahoma City? Hotel receipt show top terror man showed up 9 hours before blast. Danny Coulson was in the DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area. And he said that, he couldn't get on a Southwest Airlines in time to fly up there, so he drove and got there in a record 2 hours. But then people reported he was there in less than an hour after the bombing. Now, that's on record. Then it turns out he checked into a hotel 9 hours before the blast. The FBI's top counterterrorism agent checked into an Oklahoma City, this is from January 19, 2002. The FBI's top counterterrorism agent checked into an Oklahoma City hotel nearly 9 hours before a truck bomb nearly leveled the Alfred P. Murrah building, according to a receipt obtained by WorldNet Daily, despite claims that he was in Texas the morning of the attack. The Embassy Suites Hotel, Danny Coulson, then director of the FBI's Terrorism Task Force, founding commander of the Bureau's hostage rescue team, was dated April 19, 1995 with a check-in time of 0.20 or 12:20 a.m. military time for 12:20 a.m. His last name is spelled Coulson on the receipt, but it indicates he is with the FBI located at 50 Penn Place. Yeah, they misspell on purpose. The truck bomb exploded at 9.03 a.m., devastating half the building and killing 168 men, women, and children. According to the receipt, Colson checked out of his hotel room at 4.06, April 27th at 11.16 a.m. Now, get ready for this. They now have spun it and admit it. The existence of the receipt and subsequent questions it raises surrounding the FBI's official denial of prior knowledge of the OKC bombing was first reported by J.D. Cash of the McMurtin, Oklahoma Daily Gazette, a small-town paper that has been out front in the stories and OKC-related reports. Since the bombing, listen to this, officials at the Department of Justice have repeatedly assured victims that the FBI had no prior knowledge of any plot to bomb the Murrah building. My paper said Wednesday, however, evidence of Colson's clandestine trip fits squarely with substantial bodies of details found in hundreds of pages of other official documents obtained via Freedom of Information Act requests. The paper's evidence revealing weeks of planning by an elite corps of drug and counterterrorism experts who were closely monitoring members of various far-right groups that considered religious extremists and threats to the safety and security of our nation. So there's their spin. They were shadowing them, yes. They were and helping them rob banks, too.
It's here. After a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com, and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Coming up in studio, Kevin Barrett, out there fighting the New World Order toe-to-toe, exposing the inside job that is 9/11, his new book, 9/11 in American Empire, Christians, Jews, and Muslims Speak Out. Before we end this hour, I do want to remind all of you that I'm a documentary filmmaker, and my film, Road to Tyranny, was the first film out on 9/11. I put out an emergency version of it that was only available for a few months, 2 weeks after 9/11, which was just a presentation with video clips. Then 3 months later, in early 2002, I released the three-hour film, which right under 3 hours, 45 minutes of 9/11, The Road to Tyranny, is the definitive documentary on Oklahoma City alone. Surveillance tapes of the Iraqi Republican Guard hired by the CIA, brought in by George Bush Sr. In case locals caught them, they were going to claim Arabs did it. And I've interviewed the police, the state police. They even arrested them. They had bomb-making materials, the blue jogging suits. They had the surveillance videos from the surrounding areas. I have police surveillance. They shot in the weeks before. You also had white supremacists involved, all these groups, so they could blame different groups for it later. But it was entirely a government bombing with a diversionary provocateur truck bomb outside with explosives inside blowing the building out. General Benton K. Parton's in the film. All the clips, all the documentation, the newscast where they're reporting unexploded bombs and they're removing the bombs. Governor Keating breaking it down. You need to get Road to Tyranny just for the 45 minutes of the almost 3 hours. So we start the film with the history of government-sponsored terror. We then go into Oklahoma City. We, of course, go into the attack in 1993 where the FBI cooked the bomb, trained the drivers, provocateured the whole incident with the attack there. And then, of course, we go into 9/11 where they can't count on provocateurs anymore or patsies. They just totally stage the event themselves, and we walk through that and then show you why they wanted to do it, the police state and the wars they wanted to start. And we said in the film in 2002 they're going to invade Iraq, then they're going to invade other countries, Iran, Syria, because we went off the PNAC documents themselves. So early 2002, it is a testament. The film just gets better with time, more and more accurate with time as things flesh out. You need to get 9/11, The Road to Tyranny if you don't have it on DVD or VHS. It's over 3 hours with the extras. But the film is close to 3 hours, and it's got about, 30 minutes of extras at the end than I did because it's more of a second edition that I did later in 2002. There's really been three editions of it, but that's the final edition of Road to Tyranny. All three of my Police State films are now in a box set for $34.95. That's 45% off. Police State 2000, which shows the Marines training to put you in camps, admitting they're training to take your guns and put you in camps, and the FEMA camps and the whole Police State grid, then Police State 2, The Takeover, then Police State 3, Total Enslavement. It's what one of the films is 3 hours long. The others are over two. So we're talking about almost 10 hours of footage, almost three DVDs and one box set available at Infowars.com. We've got 9/11 Inside Job, Infowars.com, black baseball caps now available. We've got 9/11 Inside Job black T-shirts now available. We've got little FM transmitters you can plug into your computer and play the radio show for a couple houses around you, or you can boost it with an antenna and go several hundred feet further. Those are now available at Infowars.com. And your purchase of these items not only gets you more informed to have these key tools on your shelf in your library, it supports what we're doing here and my growing staff and the different operations we've launched against the globalists in our war against their tyranny and dehumanization. The toll-free number to call and order the films as well is 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Or you can also write to me. I'm Alex Jones at 3001. South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. And don't forget all my films. You can watch them right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv. Great activist center, PrisonPlanet.tv. Get your membership today. Second hour, 70 seconds away with Kevin Barrett. Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645. What?